You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Concerns have been raised with medical professionals using AI scribes to transcribe patient notes. This follows research by the University of Otago, where researchers surveyed 197 health providers in February and March last year into their experiences using AI in their practices. 40% surveyed had used AI scribes for patient notes, with most saying they had found AI helpful. However, concerns have been raised over the potential legal and ethical consequences of AI scribing patient notes, such as through data security and patient consent. I spoke to the lead researcher in the study and professor of bioethics at the University of Otago, Wellington, Otako Whakaihuwaka Poneke, Angela Ballantyne, about AI scribing and how AI should be regulated in this space. Here is that interview. Why might a doctor or just medical staff in general use AI scribes to transcribe these notes?
Great question. So I think all of us are aware that the health system is feeling really under stress, under-resourced, and many staff are feeling quite burnt out at the moment. So AI scribes are promising in that context because they offer to do some of the writing work for doctors. So in our study, about 71% of people who had tried them found them helpful or very helpful. And in particular, nearly 50% of those people said that they thought if they used them across an entire day of consulting with patients, they might save between 30 minutes and 2 hours. So I think time saving is a really big sort of selling feature. And then the other thing that doctors found is that, well, actually one GP in particular, we've got a quote where they said, actually, it made my job fun again. So doctors are saying that it reduces the cognitive load, they're feeling less tired at the end of the day, and they feel they can focus more on the patient in front of them rather than the computer.
Are there regulations in place regarding this? And if not, how important is it that regulations are put in place?
Yeah, also a great question. So I think one of the reasons we did the study was because we felt like the technology was rolling out kind of ahead of regulatory readiness. And so one of the problems with that is that these tools are essentially kind of out there, and it's really up to individual GPs or primary health providers to decide whether they use them in their consultation. So there wasn't a lot of regulatory support. If you compare that to something like a pharmaceutical, so for a pharmaceutical to be on the market in New Zealand, it has to have gone through a really rigorous review process through phase one to phase three tests to test the safety and efficacy. And when that drug is approved for market, it's only approved in a very particular formulation, like the pharmaceutical company can't go and change the formula and keep selling it. Whereas AI tools are increasingly going to be quite important in terms of the delivery of healthcare in New Zealand and around the world, but they're really hard to regulate because the point of AI is that it continually learns and develops. So it's hard to pin something down that we've decided is kind of safe and offers utility and has reduced the bias and isn't unfair and so forth, and then pin that down because over time it's going to change. So it's tricky to regulate them. One thing that has happened since our study is that a committee at Health New Zealand is now reviewing particular AI tools. So we now have two AI scribes that have been reviewed and endorsed by that committee as meeting security standards and being in line with New Zealand privacy law. So that's really helpful, I think. It's not the same as a kind of regulatory stamp of approval we get for drugs, but it is something that supports doctors in making decisions about which tools to use.
In your research, what negative sort of outcomes were you seeing come up?
Yeah, so I mean, again, our study was last year, and so it was quite soon after the uptake of these tools. We would expect some of these negative issues to hopefully be improving over time. But in terms of what we found that doctors, while they found them helpful, were mainly concerned about the quality and accuracy of the notes that are produced. So many of our doctors said that they were still finding sometimes what's referred to as hallucinations. That's where the AI model sort of makes up stuff that wasn't in the consultation. The notes were really long and required quite a lot of editing. Sometimes the notes failed to pick up what the doctor saw as quite critical findings that had come up in the consultation, and or they just sort of missed the essence, like they were a little bit off in terms of what was the most important thing out of that consultation. The doctors who were really carefully reviewing the notes found actually sometimes that was more time consuming than just writing the note themselves. So we definitely had variable experience with that. And we also had some doctors who were keen to try using the notes but felt really hesitant because they felt they weren't confident that these tools were ethically kind of acceptable, and they weren't sure if they met privacy and legal standards in New Zealand. So hopefully some of that regulatory uncertainty has been cleared up in the meantime. And then in terms of what we're a little bit worried about long term is something called clinical de-skilling and automation bias. So we expect that at the moment, because these tools are new, doctors are spending quite a bit of time reviewing the notes. And as I said, that can be quite time consuming. But we know that over time, people become used to those automated systems and they're much less likely to review them carefully, particularly if most of the time the notes are pretty accurate. And that can lead to something called clinical de-skilling, because so part of the problem is sort of framing these notes as like an administrative tool, but actually we know that, one way of putting this, is that thinking, that writing is thinking. And so preparing the clinical note is actually a really important reflective and cognitive process that the doctor's doing. So we'd be a bit worried about particularly junior doctors being over-reliant on these tools and not actually developing those critical thinking skills.
As you mentioned, this research was conducted last year in February and March, and you've briefly touched on this, but with how AI has evolved over the past year and a half, do you expect the original findings of the research could be different if you were to have done it maybe now even?
Yeah, I mean, so a few things have changed. So there's another group that's done a survey this year, and so in our survey we found that 40% of GPs and primary healthcare staff had already used AI scribes, and the group that did it this early this year found that it had gone up to 68%. So one of the findings is across both studies, we're seeing really quick uptake and interest in these tools. In terms of the error rate, I guess what I can say is you would expect the error rate to be getting better over time. So with other AI tools, for example, ChatGPT, if you've played with that, even like if I asked it to write a profile on myself a year ago, that was more inaccurate than if I ask it to write a profile on me now. So we haven't got evidence that the error rate is declining, and the error rate will never go away completely. But I can say we would expect over time that if people use the tools, they'll probably get more accurate.
Last month, the National Artificial Intelligence and Algorithm Expert Advisory Group at Health New Zealand, Te Whatuora, endorsed two AI scribe tools, Heidi Health and iMedX. Do you believe, and you've briefly touched on this as well, but do you believe that the number of health professionals trusting AI will increase heading forward?
I think like any tool, we should move forward with a bit of a dose of healthy scepticism. I guess I'm on that committee. So I engage with groups around AI, and you sometimes get two really strong narratives. One narrative is, this is amazing, it's going to change the efficiency, it's going to save doctors so much time, they're going to feel so much more refreshed. And like I said, you know, we did have some of those positive findings in our study, but I guess my view is that over time, you know, we've had lots of technological innovation, everything from dishwashers to washing machines to an at-home espresso makers to predictive text on our phones. But the sum of all that is not that we're feeling less exhausted. You know, most of us are feeling more exhausted and more anxious than we previously were. So, I mean, I'm skeptical of the idea that these AI tools are dramatically going to improve the experience of healthcare workers and or fill the gap of experienced healthcare workers. On the other hand, you have some real skepticism. You know, AI is sort of evil and it's going to take over the world and it's biased and unfair, which is true, but human decision-making is biased and unfair as well. So I think, will people trust it more? I think both will happen. I think people will become more accustomed to it and they'll trust it. But as we get more used to it, we'll start to see the way that influences clinical decision-making or patient decision-making in unexpected ways. And that might make us a little bit more wary of it as well, which I think is a good thing. I think we should proceed with caution, I suppose, is my advice.
Were patients surveyed in this research as well? And if so, how were they feeling about their notes being AI scribed?
No, that's such a good question. I would love to see research on that. So I think that's obviously the next phase. And in relation to this paper, we've had, you know, some anecdotal feedback from patients. Again, I think there's likely to be a mixed experience. One thing that we'd like people to take away from this study is to A, know that their GPs and primary healthcare providers are likely to be recording the conversations, that they should be given the option to consent to that. So if patients are out there listening and you don't feel comfortable using AI to record the notes for your consultation at the moment, because this is an innovative procedure or tool, you should have the right to say no. So feel free to say no. Also, patients can ask if their doctor is using one of those two, as you said, approved tools, Heidi or iMedX, so they could ask about that if that makes them feel more comfortable. One thing that I'm really interested in, so we know from previous research that wasn't related to AI, that in consultations where the doctor verbalises their reasoning out loud more, this can have a few unintended consequences for patients. So this might make patients feel a bit more confused hearing that very technical medical language. It can make them more anxious, and it can make them overestimate the seriousness of their condition and therefore actually prefer quite aggressive and maybe even unnecessary treatment options. Now, this verbalisation is necessary, so the doctor will be saying more out loud in the consultation because it needs the scribe to hear that and use it in the transcript, whereas previously the doctor would have been thinking all that in their head and then would have personally put it into the notes at the end of the consult. So I'm really interested in how these AI tools in clinical practice influence that doctor-patient interaction and patients' decision-making around treatment options, but we don't know that yet.
Summarising our chat today, what would you like to see in the space? What regulations would you like to see here?
So I think, as I said, the regulatory space is really tricky in relation to AI. I'd like to see some proactive thinking about that. So I'm pleased that Health New Zealand is investing in an advisory group. So this advisory group can give advice about the use of tools. It's not the same as kind of a regulatory process that gives tools a formal stamp of approval, but that's really helpful. I'd also like to see some thought about, it's a little bit technical, but around liability. So one of the interesting things is that at the moment, the professional and kind of legal standard is that even if doctors use these tools, they remain legally and professionally responsible for the accuracy of any note. So if something goes wrong, it's the doctor's fault. But we know over time that doctors are likely to become very dependent on these AI tools, not just scribes, but across medicine. And it's not yet clear at all if that tool has an error in it, and that error results in a patient having bad advice or a poor outcome, who's liable for that? So lots of groups overseas are looking at this at the moment, and I think in the different models for dealing with that. But I think it would be really great to see New Zealand proactively thinking about the influence of AI in our health system sort of 10 years from now, rather than being reactive to that.
That was the University of Otago's Angela Ballantyne on the concerns with AI scribing patient notes.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.